Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. Today, we're going to start a new series called Religious Freedom, or on the topic of religious freedom. And I know this is going to be a very insightful and also important subject and series, because this is something that's really dear to my heart. And if you've been listening to, you know, any of our podcasts, particularly, you know, the last several series that we've done, we've kind of hit on this a little bit here and there, but we want to get in more depth on this subject because we really believe that this is important. So before we get started, as is my custom, I'd like to introduce my beautiful, lovely, and wonderful, and amazing, as she says in Spanish, my esposa. My wife, my Amen. Spouse.
Amen. Hello, everyone. May the Lord continue to bless you. We missed sitting down and actually recording. It's been a couple of days, but praise God that the Lord can take this fresh new day to continue giving and sending the word out. I know that you have enjoyed the past topics. And I certainly hope that not only have you listened to them, but you are also sharing them with other people. But I do want to ask you, those of you who believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I hope that's all of you, or those of you who believe that you have been called to be, to collaborate with what God is doing, I would like to ask you, as you are listening to this, that you will be in prayer as well. That you will be in prayer, because I know that this is more than something just to edify you, edify me. This is something that I believe is needed now, will be needed tomorrow, and I'm going to dare say for decades to come. So let's listen carefully and let's open up our hearts. And as you're listening to this podcast, please make sure that you are also, of course, listening to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you personally, how He wants you to be involved and how He wants you to be a part of this. So let's move forward.
Amen. Thank you for that introduction and that contribution, sweetheart, because, you know, it's a beautiful thing, you know, for a man and a woman coming together as a husband and wife, to be able to work in ministry together. And I am so thankful and blessed that God, you know, brought you to me. And of course, none of you say me to you as well.
That's right.
And so it's a blessing to be able to do podcasts together and share the word together.
It is. I feel very blessed as well. Thank you.
And so we're going to start out with our base scripture in John chapter 8. Verse 31 and 32. And I'm going to read here from the New King James, and I'm going to probably quote the original King James translation because I actually like a certain part of that better. It says here, "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Well, the traditional King James says, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So why I like to continue better than abide is because, to me, it gives a deeper meaning about the continuation process versus the abiding. Because abiding can be considered, continuing. But some may look at it as just sitting there basically doing nothing, like, you know, abiding in the house all day long. But yet, what did they do all day while they was in the house, you know? Was they laying in bed sleeping? Was they watching TV all day? You know, what were they doing? Were they being productive? And so this is why I like the word continue better, because continue, you see, if you continue in my word, it means you're continuing learning, continuing growing. You're continuing to obey the word and be surrendered to his will. then he says this, you are my true disciples. It's interesting how he says, you're my true disciples, or you're my disciples indeed. And you, the ones who are my true disciples, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So here's another, you might say, example of proof that God's healing, delivering power, and the progression of a Christian's walk is depending upon continuing to follow him. We talked about this Sunday morning at church during the English service. Is a lot of people are looking for healing, deliverance, or whatever it is God provide for them, provide for their needs, jobs, family problems being resolved, whatever it might be. But their only guarantee they have of God answering their prayers is if they're surrendered to him to follow his will. Now, some say, well, you know, God heals a lot of people. He does a lot of things for people that aren't really serving him. But he doesn't do that on a continuum on a regular basis, you know, especially over after a certain amount of time goes by, because he expects his children to grow in the word, grow in the knowledge of the word. So he may, you know, for an unbeliever, bring healing, or a baby Christian who's not really serving him, doesn't really understand the principles of discipleship, of surrendering their life to follow him fully. He may bring healing or answer prayers to them, but you know, for them to get that on a regular, continual for the rest of their life, they're going to have to step up and become true disciples. And here he says right here that if you continue in my word, then you are my true disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So this is clear evidence that revelation knowledge has set people free. The freedom that they need is contingent upon them being true disciples, and the definition of true disciple is one who is a follower, a disciple. And we know this because other scriptures tell us this to us. And we're going to get to this subject, of course, of religious freedom. But we need to have the foundation set here, because he says here also in John chapter 14, verse 21. He says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me.
Amen.
Now he's defining love as not the fact that you just say it, not the fact that you just have a warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart for the Lord. He's saying, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. That's how he defines love, is through obedience.
Amen.
And he says, and he who loves me, he says, will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
Amen.
Now, of course, I've talked about this before. Somebody might argue that point and say, well, doesn't he already loves everybody? We already know that God is love. He loves everybody. Yes, he does. He does love everybody, even the ones that don't make it into heaven. He's loved them. He loved everybody he ever created, right?
That's right.
But that manifestation of that love is not working on their behalf. Because, you know, how can you say you're feeling the love of God when you're in hell burning in flames?
That's right.
You know, you're not receiving the manifestation of this love.
No.
Even though God's heart is a heart of love for all, right? So what he's talking about here is what love will do for you. It will manifest itself toward you in a way to give you things that you need to provide for your needs and your walk with the Lord. So when he says, he who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him, this is something we need from the Lord. We need him to be manifesting himself in our lives. And if he's not manifesting himself, then it's a good indication there's something wrong. There's some disconnect there somewhere. So getting back to John 8, 31 and 32, where he says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So that knowledge is revelation, knowledge that's going to come, that's going to open up the door to the freedom. And see, it's just as if, I think I told this in one of the previous podcasts, in one of the previous series. It may have been in the last series, I don't remember for sure. But this lady who, I don't know if she was a Christian or not, but she came from China. And she's an older woman, you know, probably, I don't know, maybe in her 60s or 70s. I don't know, not sure her age. Maybe a little younger, I don't know. But anyway, she had to be quite older, because she talked about how she was raised as a child under the communist revolution in China during the time frame of Mao Zedong, when he rose to power and the Communist Party basically took over the country. And when they came to power and took over the country, they changed everything, what they called the Cultural Revolution. They began indoctrinating even children, right, to toe the line of the Communist Party mantra and doctrines, even to the point that they used them as informants against their own family members.
That's terrible.
They would report back to the school, to the Communist Party, things that their parents would say or do, and basically become spies in their own families.
Imagine that.
And see, this is the kind of evil that she was talking about getting free from. We talk about freedom here, and religious freedom is, she said somebody, and I think it was an American, handed her a constitution. Hmm. I don't know when she came across it, but it was given to her, and she read the Bill of Rights about the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, these things that we've been given through our founding fathers, you know, over 200 some years ago in this nation, the United States. And that opened up her mind to see that there were things available to humanity that she didn't believe was possible. So it became her quest to get to the United States, become a citizen here of the United States, and be able to enjoy those freedoms. Because we have those freedoms here. And many Americans, and many even in the West who have similar laws, take these laws for granted because we've always had them. You know, we were born, you know, I was born in 1964. And so we were born and raised in a nation where we had these things there from the very beginning of our lives. And so we didn't know anything different. And it wasn't until I was in the military and went to Korea and went to Germany and the Gulf War in 1990 that I began to have my mind open up to the fact that everyone around the world don't have the freedoms we have. To be able to speak your mind and criticize a president? You know, not that we want to go around criticizing people, but the fact is, if we disagree with something they say or do we have that right? We do have that right here in the United States. But they don't have that right in many other countries. If they say anything against the president, the supreme leader of North Korea or China, they're in threat of being arrested in prison and sent to a labor camp. Just for speaking something negative, let alone we're talking about the subject of religious freedom here.
That's right.
And so they don't have the religious freedom that we've have here to be able to worship the Lord as they please. Mm-hmm. This, as I said in one of the previous podcasts, in the previous series, is that even in North Korea, they don't have Bibles because Bibles are banned from the country. Banned. They're not allowed. If they're caught with one, they will be arrested and sent to a labor camp. And that's the end of that. But here's the thing is, Jesus said that he came to give us life and life more abundantly. And that is found in John chapter 10, verse 10, where he says, a thief, who's the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Come to steal what? He come to steal our freedoms. He come to steal our ability to speak freely the things of what's on our heart and mind. And he also came to rob us of being able to worship freely our Lord and our Savior, and to be able to preach the gospel to others so they can know the truth. Because we know from the scriptures, from Acts chapter, I think it's Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I think we'll turn there. Because, you know, that somebody say, well, you know, why aren't you preaching the Bible? What's this, all this stuff talking about religious freedom? What's that got to do with salvation? It has a lot to do with it, because if people don't have access to Bibles, they don't have access to churches, they don't have access to preachers and hearing the word, how are they going to be saved? Well, Peter says here, when he's preaching here in Acts chapter 4, he says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
There is salvation in no other.
Hmm.
There's only one way to heaven. There ain't many roads to heaven. It's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's not Christian Science or any of these other religions out there. There's only one way, and that is the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Jesus even testified to that. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way.
Amen.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
Well, if we're going to expect to be able to preach the gospel around the world and get the word to everyone, then we need the freedom to do so. You say, somebody says, well, you know, we're not guaranteed any of these things. Well, here's the thing. It's kind of interesting. It usually comes from someone in the free world, in the nations that have these freedoms, that says stuff like that. Because they have, you know, and some of them, maybe they mean well, but some of them, on the other hand, have no ambition whatsoever to try to get the gospel to the lost. And are not concerned about what's going on in North Korea or China or any other countries that lock down the gospel or prevent it from being spread. Because they're not concerned about souls. They're not concerned about lives. They're not concerned about the pastors and the family members of those who are preaching the gospel. What happens to them?
That's right.
And the many countless numbers that are in labor camps right now as we speak, or under threat of death, and are in fear of their lives daily, that they're any moment now, you know, maybe the authorities in their particular country is going to come breaking down the door and busting in and dragging them off. But here the thing is, Jesus said that he came to give us life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
I don't see abundant life operating under this kind of fear and persecution.
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
And besides that, you know, somebody says, well, we're talking about spiritual freedom here. We're not talking about physical freedom. Well, that's kind of interesting someone says that, because we got other scriptures that tell us contrary to that. Let me go to that, because I want to set that foundation here for our subject.
As you're looking for that scripture, I remember when you shared this topic on, it was one Sunday, I believe, morning. And, it wasn't the Spanish service, actually. And I remember you had interpretation. And I remember looking at the congregation as they were listening about what's happening in other nations and how so many nations don't have the privilege that we have of having the Bible freely, just having access to the Bible. And I remember as they were listening to this, how it changed their heart, how it changed their perspective, and they started to pray about this. And so I'm saying this because I'm sure that many listeners, it might be the case that they are completely unaware that this happens. You know, as you said, we grow up here, we think that the whole world is like the United States, but that's not the case. And so sometimes we are, I'm going to say ignorant because of lack of information. And so we don't do anything about it, not even pray. But once we have knowledge, now the Lord makes us responsible for that. So as we said in the beginning, may the Holy Spirit work on all the listeners, and may we as listeners ask the Lord, okay, Lord, now that I know this, now that I'm hearing this, or I knew it, but I was indifferent, but now I feel that I need to be doing something. What is it that you want me to do? And, you know, it may not be get a plane ticket and go to certain nations, but everybody can pray. Everybody can pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit, and He will guide each one of us in particularly what is it that He wants us to do, so that our brothers and sisters that are already sharing the word can actually enjoy more freedom, and those that don't have access to the word will have access to the word, hence eternal life.
Amen. That is so true, sweetheart. I appreciate your support in this topic, because this has been dear to my heart for many years. You know, like I said, going back to my time in the military, I knew a little bit about it as I heard, but it's one thing to, you know, have heard about it versus, you know, a more in-depth experience. And I'm saying everyone has to have the experience to have a heart of compassion. You know, they didn't have to be in a communist nation to know, you know, to have compassion. But for me, it put a mark in my heart, you know, or you might say it impressed upon me that thing that I say is irreversible, because what I saw in these places totally changed my life, that I can't forget. You know, as some people say, when you see something horrific or something so bad, you can't unsee it.
Right.
When something changes you, you can't run from it. And so more people need to get the revelation of this, because, you know, they need to begin to pray for people's freedoms. Because when we talk about supporting the church, you know, well, we want to pray for the church. Well, of course, you know, we start with our local church, you know, that's the people we know. But yet the church is bigger than our local church.
That's true.
The church is one church worldwide, you know, even if it's other denominations and other, you know, cultures, nations, it's still one church, because we are one body in Christ. And Paul tells us that when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer, you know, and we need to be compassionate and loving and caring about whether or not they have the freedoms we have. And I just find myself, you know, oftentimes, you know, find it difficult to really rest. Not saying, you know, that I don't rest or have rest, but the fact is just to enjoy life when I know there's people suffering that need help and need to have what we have, to have the freedoms that we have. And so we have this example in Luke chapter 1 that tells us that salvation is more than just going to heaven. And that's a freedom that we also do get. Of course, you know, the most important freedom is the freedom from the penalty of our sins.
Amen.
You know, so we want everyone to be able to receive the message of Jesus Christ so that they can know that He died on the cross for their sins.
Amen.
And that they can be saved and on their way to heaven.
That's right.
The first and foremost, most important message of the gospel. But yet it extends beyond that, because salvation is more than just going to heaven. More than just being saved from our sins. It's also being saved from the power of the enemy and his control and domination over them.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that when Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy. You know, those who may not know the story here is that an angel appeared to him, you know, and telling him that him and his wife was going to have a child. And of course, they were old in years. And he doubted, you know, and the angel told him he would be mute until the day would come for that child to be born, because he didn't believe. And so when that day did come and his mouth was opened, then he began to prophesy. And here's what he said. He said, in verse 67, it says, now his father Zacharias, talking about John the Baptist, who was, the baby was born. So now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life.
Amen.
And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, to the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And so, going back and highlighting some of this, you see here in verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. So this is first and foremost, is salvation, being delivered from the penalty of our sins so that we can be saved and go to heaven.
Amen.
But then you move on beyond that and you see this. He says in verse 69, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us. Somebody says, well, that's talking about in the afterlife. You know, once you die and go to heaven, there's no devil up there. That's true. The devil's going to be cast into the lake of fire, and there will be no more enemies.
Amen.
But yet, the interesting thing here, he says in verse 74, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life.
Amen.
Well, there's not going to be days of life in heaven.
No.
And there's not going to be a need to be delivered from fear, because there ain't going to be no such thing then.
No fear in heaven.
Right? So he's talking about that life here on the earth, that we have the capability of being delivered from these things here now. Now, how do we know this is true? Somebody might say, well, you know, you got me to thinking maybe this could be true, but, you know, where's the real proof that this isn't just talking about the hereafter, the life after life? Well, let's look at some other scriptures. Let's look at what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1. And also in Hebrews, I think, chapter 1. Matter of fact, I might look at that one first. While I'm doing that, sweetheart, you can fill in the gap here for me.
Well, as you were speaking about these nations that have closed the door to the gospel, and obviously we know that the devil is behind this, because he does not want people to know the truth. He does not want people to be free. He would want nations and nations to be slaves. So that is why the need, the desire of the Lord's heart for the gospel to go to all the nations. And I was thinking about something, and today, as a matter of fact, I saw someone. She is, I believe, from China, and she's here. She is in this nation. And as you were talking about taking the gospel, you know, we're praying for religious freedom and the doors that the Lord may open so that the people in these nations may know the truth. There are many people that are actually here as well who come from these nations, and they are still walking in the darkness that they brought coming from the nations. You know, it's still the culture, is still the belief, unfortunately, the darkness. And I remember seeing the eyes of this lady, and I pray that the Lord gives me another opportunity to actually go back to that place and meet her and talk to her, because I don't remember seeing someone with such a look of of death, such a look of emptiness. I don't remember seeing anyone that looked like that, like she did.
Despair.
Yeah, it was more. It's like, okay, when someone doesn't even have a soul. You would almost think like it was a robot with clothes on. So, you know, as you're saying this, this came into my heart that the gospel is the only hope that people have. The gospel, Jesus, is the only way to salvation. So as someone is listening and saying, you know what, those nations, they're doing bad things, so many people, the more so, those people that are in darkness, the more so they need the light and they need truth. So I pray that God quickens all of us so that even if you don't have a passport, you can still bring the gospel to people who right now are walking. Your neighbor may be the one who's walking in darkness, and they need the gospel. They need Jesus because that's their only hope. That's the only hope that they have of actually having eternal life, of having life and eternal life. So I bless the Lord, and I thank you for being sensitive and obedient, for bringing this topic, because I know that this is going to have a repercussion that only when we go back to heaven, the Lord will tell us, will share with us what happened tonight, today, what happened today as this word was sent forth, and will continue to move forward. I believe it. I trust the Lord, his power. It will continue to move forward, and I know that this is going to reach the hearts that the Lord already has prepared, so that for such a time like this, wherever he has placed you, you can be a lamp, you can be a light, and actually tell other people about the only way to life, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen, sweetheart. That's so true and so good. And it's a good reminder to those who think, you know, that salvation may need just to become people in other people in other nations, because there are people here that need it as well. So I'm not discounting that fact, but, you know, just making people aware of what's going on in other nations so that freedom can also come to them.
That's
and
right.
I'm going to end on this note here because we're kind of running out of time. Is I want to read briefly here Hebrews chapter 2. And in the next podcast, we may get to the scripture I was going to reference there in Revelation chapter 1. Because there's still a lot more to be said, because we want to also talk about not only I want to build a foundation of truth from the word about what we have a right to, which is freedom in Jesus.
Amen.
Right? And that extends to religious freedom, freedom of speech,
absolutely,
and these things.
Absolutely.
Right? So I want to build that case, but at the same time, in the future podcasts, we want to talk about what are some of the strategies that God may give us to be able to help other people to get that freedom other than, you know, just, well, we know they can have it, or we believe they can have it. What can we do about it to help them get it?
Yes.
So with Hebrews chapter 2, it says here in verse 14, it says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Mm. That is so powerful.
That is powerful.
He shared in death that he might destroy that one, Satan, who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And someone says, well, that's just making you free in the spirit. So, you know, you're willing to go to the grave and die for your faith. Well, but it's beyond that. It's the being released from the fear of him because he's now being, the keys have been taken away from him, where he does not have the power to kill you anymore. And of course, someone's going to bring up, you know, this stuff in Revelations at the end times about how he's going to have the authority over the saints.
Well, that's
but
different.
That's for a different dispensation.
Right.
That's not part of the church age. You know, that's the dispensation of after the tribulation occurs. And we'll talk about that probably in one of these podcasts too, because sometimes we need to answer questions that relate to other things that people read that makes them appear as if what we're saying isn't true, right? You know, things in the Bible that almost looks as if they're contradictory. Well, they're not. They're not contradictory. There's just sometimes different time frames and applications for certain things in different times. And like I said, that's a different time, a dispensation of time. Once the rapture occurs, then things are going to be different after that. That's the judgment of God, the time of the judgment of God on earth. And that's not a good place, time to be here on this earth.
That's right.
So if you ain't right with God, you need to be right with God. Because when the rapture occurs, they're the only ones going up. So anyway, we'll talk about that more later as well. So I'm going to end that here. And we're running over the time, but I want to ask my wife to briefly give that introduction to those who have not received Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. And we always want to include in the podcast the invitation, because this is what it's all about, letting you know that Jesus is the only way to have life on earth and also eternally. So we want to ask you to open up your heart to the Lord. He died on the cross for you. He took your place and my place on the cross because your sins needed to be paid for. Now, the thing is that he was the only one who could possibly pay for our sins because he is the Son of God and he is holy. So we want to ask you to do that today. Ask the Lord to come into your heart. Ask him to receive your sins, take your sins, and in exchange, he will give you his life. And you will then, if you truly have repented and made that invitation sincerely, he will then adopt you into the family of God.
Amen, sweetheart. That's so beautifully said. So we're going to end this podcast here, and we'll pick up this subject in the next part, because I'm certain, pretty certain, this is going to be a multi part series as well as several of the other ones were before. So we want to thank everyone for listening, and we say good night or good morning wherever you're at, and God bless you all.
Talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.